What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 17,
Episode 50.
This is Writing Excuses. Consistency, inconsistency, and the crushing weight of expectations. 15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry, and we're not that smart.
I'm Howard.
And I'm Dong Wan.
And I'm Dan.
And this episode was my idea, because today is December 3rd. Is it December 3rd?
It is December 3rd.
It's December 3rd. Wow, look at that. We're recording this on December 3rd for December 11th, because we realized we had a hole in our schedule of episodes. And we could not let that stand. And then we took a step back and had to ask, well, why not? What was our original commitment to publishing an episode every week without fail? And I'm actually going to throw this question to Dan. Dan, do you remember 2008? Do you remember back then when we decided how often we were going to do this?
2008. I don't remember if there was a specific decision made other than if we're going to do it weekly, let's make sure we do it every single week.
Yeah. And see, that was my memory as well. And that was a 2008, I guess it was the only 2008 any of us got. But back then, I was 8 years in on what would become a 20-year run of Schlock Mercenary, where the daily webcomic updated every day without fail. And that was a thing that, and I'm not mincing any words here, made me feel important and special. And so I thought it was something that we should do with our podcast as well. And so we've inherited that. Here it is, 2022, very nearly 2023, and we're still insisting on putting this stuff out every week. Now, fair listener, we're not recording this episode in order to tell you that we're going to change that. We're going to explore how the crushing weight of your expectations drove this recording session and what the alternatives might be for those of you who publish newsletters or do other sorts of social media things, Patreons, whatever else. Let me throw it out to the august body of two.
I just want to say really quick that us doing an episode about how we never miss an episode kind of feels like the radio station constantly interrupting songs to tell you how they never interrupt the songs.
Yeah, yeah. There's when I pitched this episode originally to Dong Wan, I said, ooh, I have a silly meta idea.
Dan, it's important to let them know what they're getting, and so you need to remind them of what it is we're doing here.
It is.
Howard, question for you, actually. Is your streak completely unbroken? Are you at 20 years of not missing a single day?
Yes, 20 years. From June 12th of 2000 was the first strip, through July 20th of 2020 was the final strip. Every day has a strip on it, and all of those strips aired on the day which they were scheduled. There was this one time where the strip aired about 8 hours late, because a universal or an uninterruptible power supply in the server farm was configured incorrectly and power cut out and the generator didn't come on. And then the UPS exploded and we had to move to another host. And I think that was in 06. And that was the point at which everybody just insisted I was metal and couldn't be stopped. When in point of fact, that was, I know people who can solve technical problems and I have a buffer.
How stressful has that been for you? Like, what does that feel like to know that every day I got to get this out? I mean, obviously you're banking some, those are in the bank in advance, but you know, what's that process felt like?
It's like, I couldn't have accurately described it until I was out the other side of it. You ask a fish what water tastes like, and they're like, what does the world taste like? No, I am now like the fish who has crawled out onto dry land. I'm like, water was nice. Air is different. there was a constant pressure, but it was also a piece of what I used to motivate me, to get me moving. The idea that a day could go by without a strip was just absolutely unthinkable to me, because I knew that if I missed one day, then it would be okay. And I would just start missing days over and over and over again.
Right.
So, but that's me. I don't want to project that mindset onto other people. And that's where with this whole discussion, we have to be careful.
Well, and that's what I want to bring up next is I honestly, despite doing two of them, I don't listen to a ton of podcasts. And so is never missing a week, is that actually a rare thing, or does everyone do that?
I think as someone who listens to an insane amount of podcasts, it depends on the podcast. There are many that I follow that are religious about week in, week out. And then there's some who are like, yeah, we've missed four or five over the course of our several year run. And then there are some who update irregularly and you just get new content when you get new content. And, you know, I think one way that podcasters sort of get around the burnout component is by bundling them into seasons, right? So we'll do, you know, 10 episodes weekly and then take a break for 2 months while they prep the next season and then come back for another 10 episodes. And I think that's a way to sort of manage that schedule and manage expectations, because really that's what it comes down to. So much of this is, what does your audience expect? When can they rely on you to be providing new content? And what commitments have we as creators made to that audience, you know?
Yeah, and with some of the more produced, produced is the wrong word, and I don't want to put a negative connotation on it. The more heavily produced, the higher production value podcasts run a lot like television seasons would run, which is, hey, we're going to do a run of, you know, a couple of dozen episodes, and then we take a break. And during that break, what is happening is we are arranging for the sponsors and the ads and the content and whatever else for the next season. And that's, well, you know, when you've got 5 or 25 people working on a thing, that makes a lot more sense than insisting that this is a, you know, weekly juggernaut that just never stops rolling and outputting a thing.
Well, yeah. And so much of the advice for authors these days is to create multiple touch points with the audience, right? So you have your books, but then you're also, maybe you have a podcast, maybe you have Patreon, a Substack, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, right? All these are ways in which you're interacting with your audience on a regular basis. So I think the reason I found this topic interesting was, you know, what's the logic behind how you structure that? How do you approach that? And how do you manage your own burnout and audience expectations at the same time?
Yeah. And, you know, on the subject of authors,
this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/WX.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
We should have a book of the week. Dan, did you bring us? Did you bring one?
I did bring a book of the week. So I am a big fan of Silvia Moreno Garcia, and she has a relatively new one. I think it's a month or so old, called The Daughter of Dr. Moreau, which is a retelling of the Island of Dr. Moreau, set in the Yucatan Peninsula, in the either early 1900s or late 1800s. I'm not deep enough into it to know exactly where. Sylvia writes a very distinct subgenre that I adore, which is historical Mexican feminist horror. And if you're into that, she is so good. The last year she put out one called Mexican Gothic, which was a haunted house story. This one is much more kind of that, you know, H.G. Wells, Dr. Moreau thing, but all from the point of view of this daughter, you know, transplanted from France, growing up in, you know, the Yucatan Peninsula, raised by a Mayan nanny, and then at the center of this giant culture clash, ridden with this delightful horror science fiction element on top of it. Really good stuff. I'm not done with it yet, like I said, but it's fantastic and I recommend it. So that is The Daughter of Dr. Moreau by Silvia Moreno Garcia.
That's tremendously exciting. Mexican Gothic was really one of my favorite reads last year.
Oh, it was so good.
Just terrific.
This one thus far, I'm liking even more.
It's cool. And I love the way you described, and I'm going to make a point out of this. When you said the genres, but name those off again.
Historical Mexican horror.
Okay. Historical Mexican horror. One of the things that's fun about following authors on social media is the discovery that if you like, for instance, horror, branching into a historical horror is not a big stretch. And you start seeing some of these overlaps. If you like historical, branching into Mexican and horror at the same time, that is not a big stretch. And so, yeah, when you say Mexican historical horror, if you are into that thing, no, if you are into any of those things, there's a really good chance that you're going to like this new thing. And this is one of the reasons why having some sort of presence on social media, on whatever, is useful to us so that we can find those places where we overlap with people's existing interests and say, oh, well, you know, if you liked The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you might actually like Schlock Mercenary. It's not a book, and it's not British, and it has pictures, and it's not as funny, but, you know, but that whole...
There are enough parallels.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I think with the social media component, like having sort of those regular contact points, like I was talking about earlier, is, you know, can be really, really important, right? And I think having the daily updates, the regular updates that you were talking about from Schlock Mercenary. And I think the basic advice for Instagram right now is like post a reel a day, right? For TikTok, it's like regularly, make sure you're regularly updating your content. And that can be really important, but that can also create an enormous amount of pressure on creators. And I think it holds a lot of people back from even trying to start to build their brand that way. I launched a newsletter a few years back. It's called Publishing is Hard. I really love doing it. One thing that I decided before I launched it was I'm not going to commit to a regular schedule because I know me, I know what my life is like, I know how much work I have on my plate at any given time. And as a literary agent, the amount of work that I do goes up and down wildly. One week will be completely insane. The next week will be quiet, right? And so it just wasn't realistic for me to make a commitment of I'm going to send a newsletter every week. Now, my colleague Kate McKean also has a brilliant newsletter called Agents and Books. She does two newsletters a week, right? And, you know, we both have different audiences, different strategies, different approaches. And it's really cool to see what she does and what I do is slightly different because I, at the beginning, said, I'm going to send these irregularly. And when I first created it, it was in sort of the copy that I made. And, you know, anybody who has followed it has known that there will be periods where you won't hear from me for a minute, but then I'll send a new one out. And, you know, the balance is you can sort of focus on regularity of getting the piece of content out, and it's usually a little bit shorter, it's a little bit more pointed. Or what I do is make sure that what I'm giving something, I'm trying to make sure every piece is pretty special to the audience, right? I'm putting a lot of care and craft into what I'm writing. Not that you don't for a daily update, but, you know, I'm giving something a little bit more emotional, I think, than what my colleague Kate does, right? So I think finding that balance point between, okay, if I'm not doing a weekly update, what am I offering my audience that sort of makes up for the lack of regularity in a way that balances it out for them?
Yeah. Well, and to be sure here, if we had decided that Writing Excuses was going to be a 30-minute episode instead of a 15-minute episode, the weekly schedule would have crushed us.
Yeah.
Because the recording sessions, we just wouldn't have had enough time to do the things that we wanted to do.
Yeah, those people who do like weekly 3-hour podcasts, unimaginable to me how they do that. I mean, it's just a bigger part of their lives. I think, you know, we all have primary things that we're doing that are incredibly time consuming. So we can fit in these 15-minute a week episodes. Which is just, again, a really different balance point, you know?
You know, Dongwon, you talked about how the crushing expectations can prevent people from even getting started. For a while, I had a Twitch stream. I mean, I still have, technically, a Twitch stream. I just haven't streamed in forever. A Twitch stream in which the art that I was doing for the XDM books was showing up as part of the stream. And then something happened. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I realized the effort of configuring things so that I can stream this is preventing me from getting the work done. And the stress of having an audience in front of me is preventing me from doing the really hard work where I have to be unafraid of making mistakes. And I'm just not comfortable doing that on stream. Which is weird to hear from the guy whose year 2000 artwork is available for everybody to look at. But yeah, long story short, I stopped streaming and started getting the work done. And so, yeah, the decision to create regular content can be a decision that results in less productivity. And that's not what any of us want. Yeah.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the points I want to make here is this is not an episode about how you should start a podcast or about how you should have a TikTok, right? We are not telling you that any of these outlets are necessary for an artist career. What we're trying to get across is the idea that you need to look at your own output at your own schedule. Decide for yourself if one of these extra peripheral activities might be valuable to you, and then see what would be the best format to stick that into. If you want to do a podcast, do you want to do a quick and dirty weekly one like we're doing? Do you want to do something longer and researched that comes out in, you know, discrete chunks once a year? How do you want to structure that? And maybe the answer is nothing at all. All three of us used to be on Typecast, which ran for about 3 years with different cast members here and there. We really worked hard to make that a weekly thing as consistent as possible. It wasn't always. And eventually we had to let go of it because our schedules became such that it was not worth our time anymore. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah, I think if I have any point here, I do miss it too, actually. Yeah, it was fun. If I have any point here, it's yeah, don't feel like you have to do these things. If you do do it, though, if you're thinking about it, don't be afraid to experiment, right? Don't feel like just because most or some newsletters are weekly that this is a thing that you're tying yourself to that you're going to have to do every week. And I think that expectation can actually limit you more than open things up, right? So, you know, don't be afraid to experiment, try new things, and, you know, don't feel like you have to do the one piece of advice that you've heard elsewhere. You can do an irregular schedule. My only advice is, as you do that, to under-promise and over-deliver. If you're not sure you can do weekly, don't tell people up front you're doing weekly, right? Just say, I'm trying this out. It's an experiment. Let's see how it goes, right? I'm currently launching a monthly Twitch stream, and I've said many times, this is experimental. We're trying this out. You know, I'm trying to figure out, how do I do scheduling? How do I coordinate this? How do I get guests on? All of this stuff. It's been super fun so far, pretty easy so far, but, you know, we'll see where I'm at in 6 months. So, you know, just make sure that you're being realistic with yourself and realistic with your audience, because where this goes wrong is when people feel really misled, right? And, you know, there have been times where I've underpromised and underdelivered, right? Like, that happens. But, you know, I think if you have that relation with the audience, you can work with them and sort of make it up to them and find a way to balance that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you take away anything from this episode, underpromise, overdeliver, that's your soundbite. Thank you, Dongwon.
That's a very good
welcome.
One.
Words to live by.
Let me throw out one more thing that I've learned with my newsletter, which I do try to send out regularly. But regularly for me, is not tied to a day of the week or a day of the month. I try to do a monthly newsletter, but it is more important for me to get it out on a Monday than it is to get it out the first Monday of the month, just because I know that that is the time when it is most likely to be seen and clicked on. And so that's a different kind of consistency and a different kind of schedule keeping to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, Dongwon, you want to send us home with some homework?
Yeah. So here's what I'd like all of you to do. Make a list of all of your regular commitments, the stuff that you're obligated to do every week, whether that's, you know, going to therapy, picking up your kids, you know, whatever it is that you have that is a regular thing, put that on a list somewhere. And then once you have all that together, consider your bandwidth for adding new items to that list. Is that a daily Instagram post? Is that a weekly TikTok? Is that a newsletter? Is that this? Is that another thing? You know, really think about, what do I actually have time for? And then make a rough schedule of what content updates you could do in a sample month, right? What feels realistic? What feels manageable? And then, you know, reduce that by a little bit, right? And that under-promise kind of component, right? Think about what feels realistic now, and then realize that you're probably not going to hit that target. What's a little bit under that you could shoot for? And, you know, I think that's a good place to get started in terms of putting together a content plan for yourself.
Outstanding. That's it almost sounds like a life hack. I think we did it. I think we filled our December 11th hole. So, fair listeners, this has been Writing Excuses. You are out of excuses. Now go write. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr. and mastered by Alex Jackson. Your hosts were Howard Taylor, Dongwan Song, and Dan Wells. For more information, check out writingexcuses.com.